Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Hey, we're just a few weeks into the new year. Many people are seeing rising costs, you know, hangover from the debt over the holidays, and looking for ways to cut back. And a lot of times people just cut back what they eat. But the question is, how do we realistically save money while eating well? Our guest today is Nia Renix. She's a systems advisor who works with organizations on dignity, access, and how large systems are designed to impact people. 17 years of experience across the food system, public health care, disaster response, community infrastructure, where she helps redesign things for real life. She's the author of What Healthcare Misses and the Dignity Blueprint. Nia, welcome to the show. We're really grateful that you're here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Steve, for having me. I'm excited. I love this topic. And so I'm excited to share some knowledge with everyone.
This is perfect. Well, the big question is this. Our listeners love to know, how'd you get started doing this? I know it's a toughie.
No, it's a toughie, right? But it's a great question. So I'm glad that you asked. So I am a clinical nutritionist, you know, by trade. And I started out with a company called The Renix Way. I had struggled with my weight and just with eating healthy. And I had some medical issues too. I was put on some medication. It didn't work for me. So what I decided to do was design a plan for myself that would help me lose weight, which I lost over 120 pounds. And then, thank you, that was many, many, many moons ago. And then everyone started to say, oh my God, like, you know, Nia, what did you do? How did you do it? I created a system, right? I found that gap and I created something that worked for me and for a whole lot of people. And so that just kind of spun into what it is now. It's a parent company. We have different ventures underneath the Renix Way group. And then being a clinical nutritionist, I've always been aligned with food and food access and how that works for the everyday person. And so it just naturally kind of took shape, clinical nutritionist to kind of what I do now. And I love it. I love working with folks who have questions about health, about dignity, about choice, about food access. And that's where I am.
Now, I want to just start with one big question. I'm talking like 200 people asked this one question. It really, they're like, you know what? They were told by various people, some are nutritionists, national doctors, all that stuff, that some of the things that ail them has a lot to do with their diet. And if they adjusted their diet, they would be in better health just by, and some of those conditions could go away. Right. Is that true?
I believe so. I definitely do. I think food is medicine. Right. And I think when you look back at other different cultures, and I'll specifically talk about the culture of acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine. I did a lot of work and studied and lived over in China. And that was something that I observed, right, is that kind of the holistic approach of food and physical movement really helped. And again, I'm my own kind of experiment, right? So I had a health condition that was really the reason for me not really being able to find or being in tune with my body to lose weight. And once I kind of cracked that code and reworked what I ate, how I ate it, when I ate, the types of foods I ate, not only was I able to lose the weight, but also my health conditions reversed itself. So I am a huge proponent of, first, let's look at food, right? And then other things, you know, yes. Now, I will say this, you know, I am not a doctor, so I'm by no means am I getting, you know, giving out medical advice. I would say always talk to your physician, whether it's a Western physician or it's a natural practitioner, whatever the case might be. But I will say, and I will agree that food, it is medicine.
You know what? I'm glad you say that. And the reason why I'm saying that is, you know, everybody knows I'm a colon cancer survivor of 18 years.
Oh, congratulations.
When I went through chemotherapy, and for a person who is very, very active and likes to work out and all that stuff, I thought I'd never be able to work out again because of the pain in my joints and the neuropathy and stuff like that. And you talked about acupuncture.
Yes.
One of my clients at the time was an acupuncturist, and he says, you know, just come over to my office. I won't charge you. I mean, I think after the third visit, a lot of the stuff that I was dealing with just because the acupuncture just went away.
Yeah.
And then another client, she was a natural doctor, and she was like, okay, instead of, you know what, because of what you've gone through, instead of eating this, you need the natural enzymes in your stomach because your stomach's trying to repair itself from the colon resection.
Right.
And she started having, she goes, you're going to eat pineapple, the digestive enzymes, and you're going to start eating this. Get away from the oatmeal, but eat oat bran because it eliminates the sugar because you don't need sugar. And that's part of the problem with the neuropathy. And it was really wild because inside of like a 30 to 45 day period, and you probably felt it too once you did, it's like pain in my joints, I'm not having issues with my stomach. It was just like, oh wow. So I totally agree with you. I think that's really, very cool, and thank you for answering that because I had a lot of people ask that question.
Absolutely. Just to just piggyback off what you said, I've worked with cancer patients myself in the clinical space that I'm in, and we've used nutrition as medical nutrition therapy. And to your point, and congratulations on being a cancer survivor for so long, cancer loves sugar, right? And so it feeds off of sugar. So I've worked with cancer patients in like that first kind of stage one cancer. And when revamping their diet, getting them off of that refined, you know, sugar to a more kind of natural, you know, food from the earth type of diet, right? You know, they've seen good results from that. So you're absolutely spot on when you say that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I was going to say this, even my oncologist was really excited about my diet when she realized what I was doing and who I was working with. Like, that's great.
Yes.
You know what? When you said all natural, I mean, blueberries, raspberries, salad, chickens, the beef had to go, which was a bummer for a little bit, but not too bad.
But you know what? It was okay though for that little bit of time, right? To stop it.
Oh yeah. No, once in a while I have a burger, but what it is.
Right. Exactly.
But so let's, you know what, one of the big things that people, you know, they look at, they say, you know what, I really want to eat well.
Right.
But you know, it's expensive.
Yes.
Is that a myth or?
Well, what I'll say is if you look at kind of the reality of the situation, right? Food costs are going up, right? Rent is up. People are struggling with like paying for childcare and things like that. You do not need to eat well, or eating well doesn't mean you have to have these specialty foods or specialty brands or novelty brands, right? We want to focus on foods that are nutritious, right? That are easy to cook, the basics, not like the Instagram, you know, type food. We're not trying to do that, right? So what I will say that the myth is really eating well doesn't mean that you have to purchase these brands or specialty foods. That's not what it's about.
Yeah, I actually agree with that for a person that has done the finance world for a long time.
Yes.
We wanted to figure out, hey, what if we just focus on not buying anything prepackaged, but, you know, buying regular stuff.
Yeah.
So I found that, you know, you get the prepackaged salads. So it's enough salad for two, but it's $5.
Right.
And I figured out, hey, get a head of lettuce. I get the other little vegetables that go along with it.
Right.
I have a big thing of salad dressing that I like.
Yeah.
And I have some croutons, some nuts. And quite frankly, for a salad, it cost me less than $1 to do it that way as opposed to $5. So stuff like that are big savers. And
Huge savers, right? So, going to the grocery store and making the food yourself, getting those ingredients yourself can save a lot, right? There's also food that you might have in your healthy food that you might already have in your cupboards already, in your refrigerator that you are not paying attention to, but you don't notice it. You haven't gone through it. So you're going to the grocery store, or you're going to, fast food, and you're getting that type of food. But there's things in your house that you have that you can kind of work with. So absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. Somebody said, I didn't realize it, but I had the same rice in my pantry for like 6 years. It was brown rice.
Right. And you just know it's up there. You're like, going to the store, you're buying more food, but it's there sometimes, right in front of our eyes. So,
No, that's wonderful. Hey, folks, stick with us. We're right back with more Nia Renix and Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All of these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at the Saving with Steve Sexton Insider Club. Go to savingwithsteve.us and get all the replays, exclusive access to our shows, guest gifts, the whole shot. But right now, we need to get back to Nia. Again, thanks for being here today.
Of course.
Now, one of the big things here is this. People all have habits when we go to the store.
Yes.
Even when I go to Costco, it's cut past all the TV stuff.
Yes.
Coffee, alcohol, meats, all that kind of stuff, vegetables, and then all the other stuff. So, and I go in, I'm one of those power shoppers, so I know my list and I get it done.
Right.
But everybody has, because some people like be my wife, who likes to mow you through things and say, what about this? What about that? Mm-hmm. So, you know what? What are the biggest grocery store habits that quietly drive food costs up for individuals? I think that's a biggie to understand.
Yeah, I think so too. And you kind of touched upon it just in your story. Lists, right? Being prepared. Being prepared when you go to the grocery. I know it sounds so cliche, but it is true, right? So again, looking at what's in your pantry, because sometimes you'll create a list and you go to the store, but you already have that can of soup or you already have those carrots in your refrigerator, right? So making sure that you are prepared with a list when you go to the grocery store, right? And making sure that you are staying true to that list, okay? That's huge. It's important. I mean, I know for me, everyone laughs at me, but I am notorious for creating a list, okay? It's just what you need to do. And I think it's one of the biggest habits that people say they want to do, but they just do not follow. Something else that, and again, I'm bad at this, because of convenience, right? Because of time, In the grocery stores, we have like these convenience, I call them like little convenience crepes, right? Like the pre-cut onions or the pre-cut sweet potatoes, right? Those are expensive, super expensive, more expensive than going and buying a bag of onions and taking the time to chop them up yourself, or those sweet potatoes and chop them up, yourself. So definitely stay away if you can from those pre-cut little vegetable items and get it yourself and do the work yourself. So I think, though, I mean, there's others, but what I've seen after working with several hundreds and hundreds of clients, it's definitely the shopping list and not kind of not going to that section with the pre-cut, pre-done already items.
You know, it's funny you say that about the pantry.
Yes.
And I just think it's hilarious because I know in my pantry
Yep.
that we probably have, what is it, seven cans of onion soup.
Yeah.
Because
Right.
I'll be sitting there going, I think we need some onion soup for
Yes.
who's in that, and I'll
Right.
shove it in there.
Yes. And waste is one of the most, I don't know, it's like one of the most expensive kind of line items that people just don't think about, they don't account for. And you'll, like I said, you'll go to the grocery store, you'll buy a bunch of things, and you come back home. I do it all the time. I mean, I do. I mean, even though I have lists, there's sometimes I miss, right? I'll say, oh my gosh, I already had that in my cupboard. I didn't need to go buy that again. And so that's that. And then you're not using it, and then it expires. So then it just becomes one kind of cycle after another. So definitely, I think list would be kind of number one. And then just staying away from those prepackaged foods and those pre-cut kind of food items. Do it yourself. Yeah.
I was gonna say when you talked about the, I just it's so funny you're saying this stuff because it like hits me in the face.
Right,
But
right.
we buy the prepackaged. Well, I used to buy the prepackaged salads at Costco, so they come in two, and I think
Right.
okay, there's I take a salad to work. We have a salad for dinner, so I need four of them at least. Okay,
Yes.
and the reality is I won't eat them all. And by
Right.
the time I get to them, they're bad. So it's like there's the waste part of it. And you see
Yes.
this with stuff where you look at it and say, oh, I just bought 5 pounds of apples. Okay,
Right.
great.
Right.
Will they still be good by the time you get to the last one?
Exactly. And people, things are changing, and folks who are really focused on budgets, they're factoring in every single thing. And food is a major component of your budget, right? And saving versus not saving. And when you think about like people who have families, right? Families of four and five, they can't afford, to waste, food. So kind of having these kind of key like steps in place will help a lot. Yeah.
And one of the other things when you talk about, when people buy and they don't use,
Right.
is a number of people came up with a milk example. I'm like, well, milk, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, well, we buy a quart or a half gallon of milk, but we only use a pint. So it
Right.
sits.
It sits.
So, you get $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 worth of milk, it
Right.
sits, or $10 worth of eggs, which is like 18 eggs now.
Exactly.
And it goes bad. And you're like, okay,
Right.
how much do I really use?
Right.
And I'm gonna bet, do you do meal planning for yourself?
I do. And I
Okay.
encourage people to do that. I think that meal planning is another way to save money. It's another way to kind of make sure that throughout the week, if you have a busy week, you're already prepared. You're already prepared. So that is something that I definitely recommend, is prepping your food. I choose a Sunday. Some people choose other days, but I think Sunday just kind of sets me up for the rest of the week. And I things that I might use, right? Rotisserie chicken, something that's really easy to use, some kind of ground meat, a vegetable, maybe a starch, and I just prep it out for the week, right? But for me, I don't have kids, right? So that's easy and convenient for me to do. But when I talk about, I think about other clients that I've worked with or that I'm working with now, they don't have that time, right? So I recommend meal prepping. And even if you have a family, you can still meal prep, but you have to just be very strategic, like about how you do it. So,
I agree. Well, I'm one
yeah.
of five, and my mom used to do that. So
Oh,
she
great.
would, yes, it was like Sunday after dinner, after everybody got their stuff done and everybody's getting prepared for the next week. She
Yes.
spent her time getting ready for the whole week for all five kids' lunches.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So, and One of the ways that she saved is she went to like Wonder Bread. Remember Wonder Bread days? They used to have a what is it called? A day old store where you go in there and the things that they're just at the day of their expiration, they put them in there and sell them at a discount. So that's one of the ways she saved food. That's the
That's
only good.
great. No, that's great. I mean, essentially she was like buying in bulk, right? Kind of the food that you need, which is similar to like the Costco's and the BJ's and doing that. And I'll also say again, this is again a little cliche, but going back to coupons, right? Like there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, I was in CVS the other day and even like the loyalty programs, right? You never really pay attention to how much you're spending and how much that's going to like their loyalty, like the loyalty points. And I forgot what I was getting. I was getting like some bread, and it was actually a well-known brand, one of those kind of natural expensive brands. It was like $12 for the loaf of bread. And I get to the counter and they asked me if I wanted to use my points, my CVS points. I said yes. That bread that was 12, like $12.99, that loaf of bread was 84 cents. I was like, whoa, right? So even using coupons is another great way to save.
Yeah, and it's cool. You can go to any store. They all have them online now, so you can
All of
just
them.
pull them out.
Yeah, all of them. Coupons.com. I mean, all of them. So yeah,
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
go for it.
Go for it.
So people are trying to get started.
Yes.
So if people were to change just one thing,
Yeah.
what habit would that be this week to save money?
Ooh, that's a tricky one because there's more than just one.
Well, I know we'll get to those, but the
Okay,
first
so
thing
okay.
is you only can do one thing
I
because
can only do
everything
one.
else is too
Okay.
much.
Okay. I would say, and when I talk about it, everyone always like, what do you mean? Cook once, eat twice. Cook once and eat twice. People are like, Nia, what are you talking about? Cook once, only eat two times, a day. No. What I mean by that is you cook a meal that is going to provide additional meals, right? So for example, I am classic on like rotisserie chicken and maybe some, rice and maybe like broccoli or something like that. Make a little bit more of that food, right? So that dinner that you had with rotisserie chicken and rice becomes your lunch, right, the next day. You could do it with like ground meat or something like that, right? You might be having tacos. So tacos tonight can go into like a rice bowl or a veggie bowl like the next day. So that's what I always say, cook once and then eat multiple times with that same, meal. And believe it or not, that actually cuts costs because you're not at work, right? Going to a restaurant or anything like that. And also, it helps out with convenience as well. Because even if you decide not to go to a restaurant for lunch, right, and you want to just make your own lunch, well, guess what? Your lunch is already prepared because you prepared it the night before. So that's what I would say. If a person could just change one habit for that week, I would recommend doing that.
I think that's wonderful. And it actually
Yeah.
makes me smile when you say that because my wife and I do that.
Yes,
So,
do you?
and
Great.
when you said rotisserie chicken, I go, that's what I'm having last night. That's what I'm having today. And oh, by the way, I got the rice. I'm not a
Right.
broccoli fan, so it's a salad. So
Okay. So salad. So salad. That's
that
fine too. That'll work. That'll work.
worked. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with Nia Renix in Saving with Steve. Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything that's in the relationship to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. Truly want to thank you for joining us. You're letting your friends, family, and associates know. We're well over 1 million listeners throughout the world now. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to your YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, the Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now we want to really get back to Nia. So many people right now are on a tight budget. How can they use SNAP or pantries to eat well without feeling deprived? I mean, it's a
Right.
tough situation for a lot of people out there.
It is, and this, goes along with what I do in the food access space or food adjacent space with different institutions and nonprofits. What I will say is that eating well should always be centered around dignity, right? Should be centered around choice and being, you know, satisfied. That's what I will say. And I would say to use those resources, whether it's food aid or pantry, as a resource, right? Historically and traditionally, right, food pantries are for emergencies, right? They are to supplement, right, your food, right? And so with that, you want to use them as a resource, as a base, and then at the grocery store, kind of choose foods that you can kind of interchange and mix and match with them, right? The focus for that particular family that utilizes that resource is around, you know, predictable meals. It's around structure. It's around relieving stress that one might already have if they need some type of resource like food aid or, like I said, a food pantry. I think the thing to think about when you look at families who utilize food pantries is that the goal is not around trying to make this gourmet meal, right? That's not the goal of it at all. It's really around making sure that you have meals that are stable, right? The stability is in place, that you're able to make them with ease, and that they make you full and they nourish not just yourself, but your family. So I would say utilize those resources. They are there for you. But go to the grocery stores, right, to help with mixing and matching with the foods that you choose from those food pantries.
Now, you've had some experience with food pantries, and I've had
Absolutely.
A number of people saying, hey, where do food pantries get their food besides individuals donating? And I'm talking we used to work with the Outreach Farm Project, which is a farm that grew vegetables for local food pantries. And I know there was part of the nonprofit that was supported there. And it was fun to go work on the farm and do that.
Sure.
But then after that, where do food pantries get their food?
Yeah, so food pantries get their food from their local food bank, okay? So there's like a little bit of a hierarchy, right? So you have Feeding America, which is the major kind of overarching kind of organization, right? And then through Feeding America, and again, I'm speaking in terms of the U.S., right? But under Feed America, you have food banks, okay? And those food banks will disperse funds to the local food pantries or food programs. And that's how most of these food pantries receive their food. They can also receive them from, there's different grants that are out there, right? So federal grants that are being utilized by pantries. There's also food purveyors that also help to provide food support to these food pantries. Like you had mentioned, there's farms that do that as well. But when it comes in terms of like where that money comes from for them to actually purchase food, it would be their local food banks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you say local food purveyors, because when I've been to the food pantries to help, but I saw some canned goods there, breads there, sodas, in fact, do those come from local stores? Is that what you mean by food purveyors?
Yeah, excellent question. So yes and no. So food purveyors are more of like your bigger companies like a Sysco or something like that, where they're actually ordering food, or U.S. Foods, they're ordering food. But to your point, absolutely, yes. A lot of that food, like the fresh baked goods, right, or the produce, that comes from partnerships through local supermarkets and grocery stores. So for example, I ran one of the largest food programs, food pantries in Western Massachusetts. And we had food coming to us from all different places. But one of them was from our partners, right? From our local supermarkets. And we had partnerships with some of the largest grocery store chains. And depending on that contract that we had with them, they would provide food for us for every week, every day. We also had partnerships with Costco, with BJ's. We had even Hood Ice Cream partnered with us at this particular food program, food pantry. So to answer your question, absolutely. It comes from a variety of different ways. Grocery stores love, you know, to partner with local, you know, pantries. It's something that if you go to their website, you'll see that they have like a special section like around on their philanthropy, you know, page. They love local collaborations. So if you are listening and you're someone who is running a food pantry, I would definitely say, if you haven't done already, contact your local grocery store. They love to partner with local food pantries.
Oh, that's wonderful. The more we can get, the better.
Absolutely.
I know there's a lot of people who, how do I say this? There's a lot of people that I didn't realize when I worked at the food pantry, and I was just doing stocking stuff and in the back, and I'd look up when somebody come in and I go, oh, their parents at the school. You know, you know, folks just don't realize people who need help are everyday people.
Yes.
And they just need a little lift. And sometimes the food pantry is there to do that.
Absolutely. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. I work in the dignity space of it. I get called in to add kind of dignity and choice back into those food systems to really service the people that they're there to service, those everyday people. There's a lot of stigma, right, attached to food pantries, right? Mm-hmm. And to your point, absolutely. I've talked to thousands of people, right, around how they feel, right, when they go into food pantries and what that looks like. So again, I work in a lot of that dignity space and redesigning these food programs to make them work better for those everyday people. But it's if you need it, it is there. I have an initiative that I started called, I don't know, you know, if we're going to the Hunger Dash, right? So it's the first kind of virtual kind of food kind of pantry. It's an initiative, right? And we look at like the stigma that's associated with that. You know, so there's just a lot that goes into that. I mean, we could talk about, actually, I could talk about this forever. But there's a lot
that's
that
great. I want to know about it because it's a resource. Because, you know what, there are a lot of people out there that need help. They just don't let people know. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, somebody loses a job,
right,
and they feel that they're stepping down if they need help.
Absolutely.
And they just got to realize, hey, you need some help. It's your family. Eat. If you don't eat, you don't have the fuel to go out and get another job or do the things you need to do.
Right. Yeah, you'd be surprised at, like you said, I mean, how many people, you know, live in this beautiful house or have this great job, right? But they're still are struggling with food. And I like to say that, like, you know, food insecurity, it falls on a spectrum, right? So you, even though you might be going to these food pantries, doesn't mean that you're hungry for every meal. Maybe you need support for that first meal of the day, or maybe the last meal of the day. But there are so many people that look like, you know, you and me, that have at work, that just need a little bit extra, a little bit extra push to kind of make it through that week or that month. Mm-hmm. And people don't even realize, you know, how close they could be to needing a pantry or something, or some kind of food access, you know, program.
Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking, one of the kids' parents at the school, they had like, I think they had four or five kids, maybe six.
Yeah.
Like, God, how do you guys do it? And
right.
You know, I was there in the warehouse, and, you know, I saw his wife came in, and you know what, that's how they do it. So sometimes that's, you do what you need to do to get
do
through.
What you need to do. Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I, you know,
absolutely.
My big thing was there, hey, don't worry about what stage of life you're in or you feel like you should be there.
Right.
Step up, go, get what you need so you can be a prosperous person. And you know what? Pay it forward sometime.
Absolutely.
Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Nia Renix in Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're going to go right to it with Nia right here. We're going to be talking about, you know what, we've got a lot of, you know, young professionals and they're in the workforce, they're trying to make everything work, rent, car payment, all that kind of stuff. And they feel like eating well, you know, just drains their paycheck. In fact, you know, I've got kids with the same feeling. And we also want to talk about common food spending traps of busy adults, because there's so much money that goes to waste and we just don't realize it. And you know what? Those dollars can be redirected to, you know what, your retirement, maybe retiring a little early, which would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
So the first big question is, young professionals eating well, draining their paychecks.
Yes. And it does. It does drain paychecks. A lot of young adults kind of fall into, I feel like, the trap of, you know, organic, right? The kind of that marketing trap, right? Mm-hmm. Of things have to be a novelty food or specialty or organic in order to be healthy, right? For example, I have a nephew. He is 23 years old. He is a young professional, very busy career. He talks about the fact that, you know, he has long hours and he's tired when he gets home and he doesn't have time to cook or do anything like that. So what ends up happening, he eats out all the time. He will buy these huge salads, right, from store, but he'll buy 2 and 3 of them from, you know, an app or something like that. And I try to tell him, you know, and we map it out together. If you were to go to the grocery store, use the same ingredients, you would save a ton of money. I mean, he probably spends just on those salads alone every week, probably over $200. Because he buys multiple salads at a time, right? But this is not uncommon, right? This happens with young professionals. They are tired, they're exhausted, and they want to order out. A lot of it too can be sometimes comfort, right? A comfort level. They eat out because it's something that's social, right? They're going to eat out with their friends, right? So something that's social, or they feel like, okay, I had a long day at work, and so I'm going to reward myself. And how do we reward ourselves? With a big meal. But if it happens multiple times, you know, throughout the week, you're spending, by that point, over 50% of your budget is going towards eating out. So I like to tell, you know, young people, if you would just, again, plan your meals. We kind of talked about this before, right? Plan your meals ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Go to the grocery store, right? And choose the ingredients that are in those favorite meals that you buy and prep it. You would save a ton of money, a ton of money. And I don't want them to fall into the trap that they have to eat organic and have these novelty, you know, type of foods all the time. Sometimes just eating healthy is simple. It's basic, and that's okay, right? You don't have to experiment, have different foods all the time. Stick to what you like, stick to the basics, and prepare your food.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I was just thinking to myself, back in the day, I was that young executive, I would stop through a drive-through on my way in.
Yeah. Right.
At lunchtime, it was always going out somewhere.
Right.
And then it was after workout, it was to dinner somewhere. Yes. And I probably ruined my workout because I ate crappy food for dinner or ate too much food for dinner because it was like a sumo wrestler. And then that's what put me off to sleep.
Yes. Yes. It's true. And don't even get me started about coffee. I mean, I fell into this trap, you know, always getting coffee before work. I started to make my coffee because once you start averaging out the cost of a Starbucks coffee every single day, you are shocked, you know, at, oh my gosh, I'm spending all this money on a Starbucks coffee when I can make it at home, right? And save a ton of money. So I think, and you know, I tell him that he doesn't listen, but I guarantee you, once he starts to become a real adult and have real bills and things like that, he will pay attention to what I've said. So,
When he looks at his bank account in a couple of years and go, why am I not further than what I thought? But
yes.
here's a funny thing. We hear about the, oh, you can save by doing Starbucks and all that stuff. Well, take the Costco pods. You can get, I forgot the Summit coffee, the one with the yellow lid on it. You can get 100 of those or 110 of them for $36. Okay, so you're looking at 36 cents to 45 cents each. You get a creamer for $5, and you know what? You're in a position where for 45 cents or so, 50 cents, you've got your coffee, but then you can go to Starbucks and pay $5 for it.
Yes, exactly. You know, food is one of those things that, and budgeting for food is one of those things that people really forget about, right? They don't think about it. They think about, okay, well, I'm budgeting for a vacation, right? Or I'm budgeting for clothes budget or something like that. But people don't always consider food being a huge contributor to cost savings. Food is constant, right? We're always going to need food, right? So it's so important to start budgeting out, you know, I'll say as a young person, right? Start budgeting as a young person now so that it gets easier over time. Things like vacations, things like clothes, those things you don't need, right? They're indispensable to a degree, right? You don't have to go on a vacation. You don't have to buy that new dress. But food, you need it. You need it to live, right? You need it to survive. So it's something that, like I said, just really people I think should really start to consider and take it more seriously when it comes to budgeting.
I'm going to read from Jessica in Ohio. She just says, you know what? I didn't realize this, but I went through 2 40-packs of water at Costco on a monthly basis. I said, that's, she goes, it's great. I'm getting all my water, but I just bought a Brita and now I'm saving $9 a month in
Yes,
that.
exactly. Yes.
So
See? Little things
the
like that, yeah.
interesting thing about saving money when it comes to eating well, it's just the little things that make the difference.
Little things, very little things.
Yeah.
Because the little
So,
things actually add up, you know, over time, right? So, yeah, absolutely.
and it's interesting, you almost started answering my next question, which is, you know, most common food spending traps for busy adults is basically eating out, doing the coffee and all that kind of stuff.
All of that stuff, yeah. And then buying those ingredients that you know that you're probably not going to cook with, right? You're buying ingredients for that person that isn't stressed, right? Isn't busy. Instead of buying the ingredients that buying ingredients and planning meals around when you may not have time. Right. A lot of people plan meals around when they're okay. I'm going to be off of work today. I'm going to feel good. But then you don't use those ingredients. So then things go to waste. Right. We have to start kind of reframing our mind and start planning meals and buying things when we are maybe not having the best day, when we are stressed, when we are, you know, tired and don't have time to prepare. So, yeah. So things like that. And it's the whole thing, I think. It just all kind of is one big circle, right? Like you said, it's not falling to those traps of eating out all the time, buying those ingredients that you know that you're going to cook with, right? Not the ones that you're aspiring to cook with, you know, like one day. And just planning for, I would say, like the worst days, like plan for those worst days. Those all those things help and save money in the long run.
No, I think that's great. And I'm just this many people might think I'm weird, but I actually think cutting and cooking things and stuff like that is a stress reliever because it allows me to focus on something else other than my work. And that's a wonderful thing. And yes, I'm married. I actually do a lot of the cooking at the house, and a lot of it has to do with that. So I think I just and some of you are like, oh my God, I can't believe he's nuts.
No, I've heard that before.
You know what, to be able to chop up, cut up things, shred things, cook things, and all that stuff to focus on something else makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Allows you to decompress.
Yeah, it can be a big stress reliever. Just cooking in general, I think, can be a great stress reliever.
So before we go, one, I'd like you to share what's the best way of people get a hold of you so you can help them?
Absolutely.
And then two, if you're thinking of just one thing as a theme for this year, the saving money and eating well, what would it be?
Okay. So everyone, you can reach me at hello at Nearenix, N-I-A-R-E-N-N-I-X .com. And I think the biggest kind of takeaway from this is to understand that you're not behind, right? You're not behind. You are okay, right? You can save money in a variety of different ways. Be kind to yourself and know that it is not a sprint, right? It is a marathon, right? And so make sure that you, like I said in the very beginning, when you go to the grocery store, you have a plan in place, right? You have a list in place, and that you're shopping for ingredients that you're actually going to use, that you're looking into your cupboards, you're looking into your refrigerator, and you're looking at the foods that you have so you don't have to go to the store and purchase foods that you already have in your cupboard. So I would say that is really the biggest kind of takeaways from all of this.
Nia, I want to add one thing. We did a little poll and kind of said, hey, just let us know what you spend on food, whether it be eating out or preparing things on a weekly basis. And the interesting part of it, some of it was about $100 a week. Mm-hmm. And some of it was $1,500 a week.
Wow.
And I went wow too. And it's like, if you're spending that much every single week, you've got to be eating out a lot or buying some really horrendous nice stuff.
Right.
But the reality is, if you think about that, if you were just to cut that by a third, you could have a really nice new car.
You could have a nice new car, a nice new a lot of things, actually, if you cut it by a third. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what? Your 401k would do a lot better.
It would. But those are those things. Yeah.
Yeah, so think about it. You know, Nia has come up with some wonderful things that you could do to reduce and eliminate costs while eating well, and she's giving you a wonderful tip. So this is like,
Yes. I hope everyone has seen themselves in some of these, you know, these tips and these stories. So, yeah.
No, I think there's a lot of people that go, yeah, that's me. That's
right, me. Right. That's me. That's me. Exactly. Thank you so
much. That's what I kept thinking. That's me. That's what I used to be. So,
right.
Nia, I want to thank you so much. Nia Renick, thank you for being here. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in and I appreciate you sharing us with your friends and family and associates. About the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, AMFM 247. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can always go to thesavingwithsteve.us and check out all the last gifts. You can, wonderful stuff. If you're into dating, travel, the whole shot, it's all there. I do want to thank Nia Arenik for sharing that information with us about reducing cost food and still eating well. One of the things I want to share with you today is this. Many people are loving the fact that precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, have increased in value almost 75, 80, 85% in the last year. And a lot of people are trying to figure out, hey, how is that occurring? Why is that occurring? Well, couple things. One, up until December 1st of 2025, from February 22nd to 2025, what was happening is the Federal Reserve was doing what's called a quantitative tightening, which means they were allowing bonds to mature, and then they would take the money, give it back to the Fed, and the Fed would turn it back to the Treasury, thereby reducing the cash in the financial system to limit inflation. Now, December 1st hits when the program ends, and then banks, they start needing money, so they go to the overnight window, the funding window, to $10 billion a day. So you're seeing a lot of money going to the system. If it continues, you'll likely see an increase in inflation. And by the way, we're already seeing that. Value of dollars going down. Value of dollar goes down. Foreign countries start buying more precious metals to keep up with inflation. You do as well. Okay. And you also see a little uncertainty, which creates that as well. So we got an uncertain world and we're seeing those things go up. That is the reason why. You know, you look at gold and say, hey, why are people doing it? It's a perceived safety asset when things are uncertain. Also, you look at things like the 10-year treasury. If the 10-year treasury is at 4 or above 4, you really want to start having conversations with your financial advisor. Why? Because as that 10-year treasury starts getting over 4, 4.2, 4.3, you start seeing more pressure put on portfolios. And when you start seeing more pressure put on portfolios, hey, that's when you see things decline. And that's what we saw in 2022. So don't let history repeat itself. Start having those conversations. Folks, hey, if you need help, concerned about what's going on there from a risk standpoint or just looking to plan the future, you can always go to, you know what, Saving with Steve, the website, or you can call Sexton Advisory Group at 1-800-560-2611. We have investment professionals that manage money, tax professionals that help people reduce and eliminate taxes, planning to go along with it. And with that, I want to thank you all for joining us today right here on Saving with Steve. I wish you a safe, happy future, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.